Welcome to the Onto IOP teleconference. I have sent around a new draft and unfortunately it was all in red. But Maria pointed out that there was a mistake, so now I have sent a new version with some paragraphs, very few paragraphs marked in red, and they should basically the topic of today, but given the fact that this has been sent out so lately, so I'm not sure whether everyone is prepared, but anyway, I would suggest to start with what we have in section 1.1, because it's kind of a general introduction to onto IOP or to DOL. And so maybe we start with that, but before that we can have any other info. So one piece of information that we now have several letters of intent, because the deadline was on the day before yesterday. And the good news is that Mitre also has sent a letter. And now we have basically three letters from platform members or above, namely Thematics, Fraunhofer Focus, and Mitre. And we have two letters from universities, namely Toronto and Magdeburg. So that's good news that we have five letters of intent altogether. So, And three of them by platform members. That's a good balance, I would say.
Yeah, so with Mike Bennett, and so he had said that they were not going to at this point. He wanted to kind of do it together with other FIBAL people, and they didn't get things together in time.
Okay, yeah, but I think we five letters is quite enough. There's no problem. Okay, so then I would suggest to start with the draft section 1.1. So that section has been rewritten, and maybe if you have not read it, you can read it now. It's not very long, so just more than half a page, and it's basically introducing this general scope of onto IOP and DOL. Yeah, if you have any comments, please say so, but maybe we have a small break for reading.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, great. Good to hear it, Ed.
What does the visit between different ONs mean?
Sorry, could you repeat? What do you mean?
In the third paragraph, the first sentence. In complex applications which involve multiple ONs with overlapping quantum spaces, data mapping is also required. It should really say may also be required, I guess.
Okay.
On a higher level of abstraction. And then what does this mean in this context?
This means something like IE, so.
Okay.
I'm back. Sorry, I have to do something urgent here.
It's short for Latin Videli set.
Okay. I'm not sure how common that is.
I have seen this in several texts.
Okay.
I mean that is something like this. But we can also replace it. Why not?
But the sentence is already relatively long. So what can't we just say is also data mappings are required between different ONs? I mean, the higher level of abstraction is really not really saying anything except for that there are different ONs involved.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, why not?
So it would make it shorter.
Yep.
So I'm jumping back into the conversation.
Yeah, we are just discussing the changes to section 1.1.
Yeah. So there's in the penultimate paragraph you're talking about the visiting. I don't really mind it much. The only thing what I had in the same paragraph, because overall, from what I've been able to read, I only have two small comments and the rest was fine. Overall, one and only one in this paragraph. The sentence that comes afterwards, as well, the OMS, yada yada, and it has then says at the end, may also be written in different OMS languages. I would add that also to say that may have different expressivity. Because otherwise it might sound as if you have the different OMS languages, but it is actually the same expressiveness.
So could you please see where it is?
It's the sentence after the one with the vis.
Mm-hmm. So
at the end,
while OMS alignment is most commonly cited for OMS formalized in the same OMS language, the different OMS used by complex application may also be written in different OMS languages, of different expressivity.
Yeah, because otherwise it sounds that it may be just limited to different OMS languages with data that are essentially the same. You want to include the ones that are also with different expressiveness, because you can.
Okay, yeah, I've added this. I'm working directly in the document, so there's no need to capture this in the chat, I see.
I think this is very good. Captures all important things, and it does it in a way that is doesn't require any previous knowledge, I think.
Good. So a side issue, there is an ad note selling spell chatting for British, but it should be American English, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, don't know whether OMG has an official stance on it, but since it's an American institution.
So did OMG specify British?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I thought
if they did, then we should follow it. Most standards, I mean, if they're in English, are actually in Oxford English, and the normative spelling is Oxford English Dictionary. At least, I mean, that applies to ISO work, even for American organizations.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, I don't know.
Something to ask Conrad or the other.
Yeah, okay.
What would be a good word to search for in a BPMN model where we would get the difference or something? I mean, I'm just trying to download the specification. What would be a good word where you know the difference whether it's English or American English?
In BPMN?
Well, that was one example of which I just have.
Neighbor, center, color.
They write center, C-E-N-T-E-R.
That's American spelling, not English.
Okay. And it appears 37 times in the document. So I mean, if it would be only once, it might be just overlooked. But I mean, the 37 is probably not. I mean, then it's not a typo. So I assume that at least that standard, the BPMN standard that I'm looking at, is an American.
Okay, so it's probably American English, but we still can ask Conrad or Elisa.
Yeah.
Anything else considering this 1.1? Good. Then the next red thing is in section 4 on page 10. So this is just a small note, so I think it's not much controversial, but just in case someone has some idea how to improve it.
That's fine.
Okay, then page 11, there are two red definitions.
Yeah, there's a typo in the first one, in the first note. Yeah, symbols instead of symbols. That is the signature of a term instead of
technology.
Well, and there's a white space in front of the comma. in the vocabulary, comma, signature.
Where's the white space? I don't see
Vocabulary, comma, signature is the heading of this paragraph. Or it's subsection or whatever it is.
Yeah, I see.
You define it for term and for language. Don't we need it for theory or OMS?
Where's that?
So the signature is defined here for term.
Mm, right.
And for language. And I would have expected it to be needed also for norms.
Yeah, but that's a primitive notion that is being defined here. So if you look at the definition of vocabulary and signature, is the set or otherwise structured entity of non-logical symbols of an OMS. So that's the primitive notion. And then you say the signature of a term is the set. So that's basically derived notions, and the primitive notion is being okay, so anything else? Otherwise, let's move to page 15. There's the notion of approximant.
Just going back to the model, I know, I'm just wondering whether we need to make that more, it doesn't say anything about declarative here, right? So a semantic interpretation could be an operational interpretation. But I guess, I mean, it depends on whether we are, I'm not sure whether we are somewhere else saying that OMS languages are not only declarative. I'm just thinking about, or maybe we don't want to restrict it that way, but I'm not sure. And the languages we have been talking about have all the model theoretic semantics.
Yeah, OMS language has the definition language equipped with a formal declarative logic-based semantics plus non-logical annotations. So maybe this suffices.
Okay.
And we also say in the design section 7, the following features are essential to the design of this international standard. DOL is a declarative language with the formal semantics. So I think that should suffice.
Okay,
then page 15, the definition of approximant.
Well, does this beg the question of what an approximation is, though? Right. So if an approximant is the best possible approximation, then what's an approximation?
Okay, yeah. That's true. Maybe we should add this. An approximation is basically an OMS that is logically implied by the original OMS that you want to approximate.
So do we have a notion of a sub-theory somewhere?
Yeah, we have, but it could, here you could change the language, so I'm not sure. So on page 13 at the bottom, you have sub-OMS.
Right, but it says the sets of non-logical symbols are subsets of those present.
Mm-hmm.
Is best possible, sounds like there's a uniqueness assumption, which probably we don't want to have, right?
Maximal would be the better one.
Yeah, it says maximal set of, sure. It says that in the parentheses. And even that's probably, I mean, in any real world application, you're not necessarily looking for the maximal set. You know, the maximal set is very large, and you get another approximation which is significantly smaller and easier to use in theorem proving. Maybe more interested in that, even if it's not maximal with respect to logical consequence.
Yeah, but if it's just any approximation, then this is no longer well defined what it could be. So if we allow anything, then the problem is that we don't have a clear semantics what some DOL expression means, then it could be a variety of things. We have this issue with module extraction anyway. So I thought about this last week because I found a paper where a language for module extraction is defined, and there it is said that module extraction should the details should left to a tool, and basically the tool should compute any kind of module, which is well defined what a module is, but there are several non-equivalent modules, and here it might be the same, that there might be several approximants, and tools might compute them, and it's not always the uniform interpolant which would be the best possible approximant. So, but if we let this, if we open this Pandora's box, then this has a drastic consequence for the semantics, because then a given DOL expression does not have a unique set of sentences or a unique class of models as semantics, but there could be a set of sentences or a set of classes of models. So some non-determinism in the semantics.
Didn't we already discuss the fact that there is no unique maximal set?
There is in many cases. So we could say, and that's also what I discussed with Carsten Lutz, who is author of this reference 31 there, and who has worked on this field, uniform interpolation and approximation. And his opinion is that one should have this, maybe not even maximal, but maximum property, that we want to have the best possible thing, the best possible approximation, and if this does not exist, then it's undefined. That would be another option, which would be theoretically more sound, but maybe practically less feasible.
But is there really a unique maximum?
No, the notion would be, so the notion of uniform interpolant, if I recall correctly, is that it should be the maximum. And in some cases, there is no maximum. That just means that the uniform interpolant is not defined.
Oh, I see. So,
what does that mean for our semantics? That means that some expressions are not defined?
Yeah, that could happen then. But that's also the case, say, with theory interpretations. They might also be not well-formed or not defined in a sense. Namely, if the theory interpretation, the proof obligation is not provable, then they are also kind of ill-formed, if you wish. And this ill-formedness is an undecidable condition, and that would be the same here. The alternative would be to say, okay, an approximant can be anything somehow approximating the original OMS, and it need not be maximal. But then we have a kind of non-deterministic semantics somehow. So, and the result currently without this approximant and the also module extraction is a similar discussion. We do have the property that each OMS has either a theory semantics, so it denotes a signature plus a set of sentences, or at least a model theoretic semantics, which means a signature and a class of models.
Mm. Well, I guess the other thing too, though, like you said, since this is, you know, the notion of uniform interpolant, right? So first order logic guarantees the existence of uniform interpolants. So in any first order expressive logic, there is a unique maximum approximant in this sense. This would mainly be an issue for logics that are more expressive than first order, right? That don't have the Craig interpolation theorem or Beth definability theorem, things like that.
Well, it's an issue for all, since there are situations where, and there are certain things which you can't, axioms you can't express together.
Right.
Right. So if you want to approximate and first order logic theory, you have a choice.
Right.
You
right.
can add, I don't remember what it was, but property can't be, or relation can't be, I think, transitive and asymmetric
That's right.
Some combination.
Yeah.
Not a lot. So you get an either or.
Right. But see, in that case, it would make sense to just simply say it's maximal. Like the way it's stated is fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, the question is how, it's a matter of compromises. Do we want to compromise the elegance of the semantics for Toll? And if you want, and the next balance is, do we want to go for theoretical notion or more for practical notion? As I said, I mean, I can easily imagine that you don't want to approximate, let's say you want to approximate a common logic ontology which involves sequence variables. And as soon as you try to do that in first order logic, then you get infinite because your sequence variables just translate into infinitely many axioms. Theoretically, that might be then the best approximation, but from a practical point of view, replacing the axiom which involves the sequence variables with, let's say, three or something like that covers probably most of the cases, because most people don't have relations which are more than ternary.
Right.
So, but it's definitely not maximal, but maybe useful.
So it sounds that we would like to have a more liberal way.
No, I didn't want to push in any direction. I'm just saying that I think we have, as trade-offs, and two different ones, and I'm not sure which one is the best way to go. One way, if we endorse something which does not lead to a uniquely defined semantics, would be to structure DOL basically in a way that you have the sub language which doesn't involve constructs, which are theoretically ugly in a sense, and then add this as extension. So I have two, so that you can show for DOL, or say for DOL, or for the core fragment of DOL, that it has a clearly defined semantics, either, as I said, as a theory, but not in clearly defined model theory, or deterministically defined model theory, and then take the aspects of the language out which break that property and make that an extension of some kind.
So we would have a clean language with an easy or simpler model theoretic semantics, and a dirty language where we have this kind of non-deterministic semantics. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is an idea to have our cake and eat it.
And then should we have two versions of this approximation? The clean one and a kind of more liberal dirty one?
Well, I actually think the clean one isn't really very clean either, because, I mean, it's cleaner, but you still have expressions in your language which are undefined. Isn't that nasty too?
It's semantically very clean. It's nasty from a tool's point of view if you have some undefined expression there and it's maybe undecidable to detect whether it's defined or not. I'm just trying to capture some of the discussion in the chat. One option also would be that we have a clean semantics. So the semantics says, I want the approximant, which is approximant, which is all the maximum set of formulas. And then a tool can approximate this one again and say, I only compute all the list of all predicates up to arity 7, because this covers most arities. Although in principle I should have an infinite list of arities. And then the tool warns the user, okay, here some approximation is taking place. So.
Okay, so then we would have to say something in the conformance section about that, I guess. Is there something? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
And
the same would go for module extraction. There we could also say we want to have, although maybe there is no maximum module, then the semantics is undefined, but still we could approximate this. And it doesn't make so much sense. Yeah, we could have the union of all maximal modules or something like that. And then in practice we would approximate it.
Or the union of modules might not be a module though.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Good point. But in you would approximate only something that is a module. Yeah, so this one would better live with a non-deterministic semantics. Because the problem with the having the dirty notion in the language is that the semantics gets more complicated, and on this non-deterministic semantics is not really nice to have. And it's really more a tools issue that we know ideally what it should be and just cannot compute it.
Or I don't want to compute it, as I said,
yeah.
Maybe
practical
point of view that makes you, you know, that you want to keep with more clean, readable ontology as a result of the approximation instead of a perfect, logically perfect approximation. I think that makes sense. I mean, the semantics is complicated as it is. To make it even more complicated, it's probably will reduce the number of people who understand it even further. So keeping us clean has that benefit. Then we just have to change the conformance section we have a conformance of an application with DOL in section 2.5. And that will be then become more interesting. Maybe we should, can we define a notion which is called, we don't want to call it approximate because it's not given, what is called approximate could be called maximal approximate or maximum approximate, right?
Yes.
And then an approximant could be anything which is basically entailed by any subtheory. And if you have both notions, we can talk about in the conformance criteria that what we define in the stem in the language is about the maximum approximant. But that for conformance, and to be conformant, it is sufficient to generate an approximant.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. And then the maximum approximant would be the uniform interpolant.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
And in a way, that would actually allow us to say something in the cases where you don't have a maximum. Because it doesn't exist, the uniform interpolant doesn't exist, you can still have a tool which generates a approximant. I mean, it's not part of DOL, but at least we should say something about the fact that the tool either does return nothing is generated, but if it returns something, it should be an approximant, even if it's not the maximum.
Okay, I have written something new. I posted into the chat, but it's the LaTeX source, so sorry for that. So an approximant is an approximation in the sense of a logically weaker theory of an OMS in a smaller signature or language, and maximum approximant is the best possible in sense of maximum set of logical consequences approximation of an OMS in a smaller signature or language. and technically a maximum approximant is a uniform interpolant. Maybe instead of best possible approximation, it should be best possible approximant. That's more precise.
The only question I have is whether we need to say something. I mean, logically, weaker theory sounds like you're working in the same language. And of course, the use case is cross-logical, right?
Yeah, or cross-signature, yeah. But still, you could say if it's cross-languages, you could say it's normally not cross completely different languages, but it's in a smaller signature or OMS language, and so it's a sub language, and therefore somehow it's still the same language.
From OWL to ComLogic, or the other way around.
Yeah, okay, this is a sub language. Yeah, but still we would like to have that, yeah. Yeah, but still we would say that the OWL theory is logically weaker than the ComLogic theory.
Well, it's just a generalization of weaker. I mean, you first do the logic translation and then do a theory interpretation, for example, would be the one way of kind of describing that, kind of the linking those two together.
So maybe logically implied theory, comma, after suitable translation.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I can post again what I have.
So I'll have to leave in about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of saying.
Okay, yeah, maybe we go to the next notion because this seems to be settled now. And that's the last one, so it's on page 18. Combination diagram and sharing.
For interlinked, I would add a note there where we just say, I mean, interlinked, you know, it's very wide. And just a note with, OMS can be linked by, for example, importations, you know, basically a list of relationships that we are covering, proof obligations, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The along a diagram, I mean, it's aggregation of several OMS along a diagram. I mean, the notion of aggregating something along a diagram, I'm not sure whether that's clear to a reader.
Yeah,
I know what you mean, but it sounds a little bit mystic.
Could we just say aggregation of a diagram of OMS?
Well, no, it's just it's the word along. I mean, did you mean like the combination of ontologies by the alignment or related by the alignment, that sort of idea?
Yeah, but we have a diagram, so it's an aggregation of a diagram. Maybe we just say this, then the along would vanish.
Yeah, okay.
I don't understand that. I mean,
so the
on a way, I understand it because I have worked with you guys. But, if I try to be naive about this, I mean, if I read the definition of a diagram, it's just a graph. I mean, you have some edges and some nodes, and the nodes probably are the OMS. And then, so that's how I understand graph of OMS, and then OMS mappings. And naively, I would think, okay, on mappings, these are probably the edges of the graph, showing how the ONs are interlinked. Okay. So, there is a huge, for me, an exploratory gap going from that to saying I can now aggregate that graph. I mean, is that clear why there's a problem? I mean, it's just not, let's say I have a graph which represents individuals and their relations to each other. And if I then say in the next step, and combination is I aggregate those this graph, it's not clear to me what the result would be.
So what about aggregation of the OMS in a diagram where symbols are identified according to the OMS mapping of the diagram.
Well, that'd be more explicit, for sure. It's less ambiguous.
But I actually would start maybe rewrite the diagram with the graph where OMS are nodes and OMS mappings are the edges. Then next sentence, the diagram shows how the OMS in the graph are interlinked. And what you said, it's the combination, it's not all, the combination, does it allow all interlinks? So if you have a mapping, which says, I don't know, this term is aligned with that term with the likeliness of 70% or something like that, how would you combine that?
No, it's not possible with 70%. You need always 100%.
Yeah, but we have alignments where we have confidence values in there, don't we?
Yeah, but then the combination is not defined.
Okay, well, so maybe it's easier to understand if you specify what kind of diagrams. So there are diagrams which involve only a certain amount of mappings, namely views and renamings, and these you can combine.
So my suggestion would be to diagram aggregation of all the OMS in a combination. Aggregation of all the OMS in a diagram where non-logical symbols are shared according to the OMS mappings in the diagram. So I've put this in the chat. Can we improve on this, or should we take this?
I think that clarifies some of the vagueness from the initial one that's there.
Mm-hmm. Do we need the diagram at all?
Yes.
Can't we just say that combination is the aggregation of two or more OMS, where non-logical symbols may be identified?
No, I want
to specified mappings.
Anyway, so I need to leave now. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks for coming, and see you next time.
Yeah, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye bye. I want to leave the diagram in.
Okay.
The idea is also that we have a new language construct for defining diagrams, so that you can give a name to a diagram. But also, if you don't have a diagram named, then after this combine keyword, there can be an anonymous diagram, but it's always a diagram.
Okay. Why? Why do we want to name diagrams?
Because you can build them in a hierarchic way and you can reuse earlier diagrams. And this came out of this co-invent project. And some book chapter that we have written on blending and DAL and so on, and there we invented this, and it really makes sense. So, also
by the way, this is Conrad. I just want to let you know that OMG has a standard for diagram definition that is for incorporating into other standards, so that those other standards can define their diagrams more formally and be able to interchange them. And it's been incorporated in UML and SysML and other languages. So if you're going to define new for diagrams, you might consider that as a way to achieve interchange and make a precise specification of the diagrams.
Okay. That's a kind of coincidence. So we have a different use of diagrams here.
We should not call them diagrams.
Yeah, so this is not a visual entity.
No.
It can be visualized, but it's living at a higher level. So recently I spoke with people in model-driven engineering, which also use these combinations in our sense here. And the combinations also along a diagram, in the sense of DAL, say, And this diagram, in the sense of DOL, is used to merge a number of UML diagrams. So you have a number of UML diagrams.
So the question is, did you just use diagram in two different ways or one?
Yeah.
So UML diagram means the visual presentation of it.
Yeah. And now we have the DOL diagram says how different UML diagrams are interconnected.
Right, but in the community,
this can also be visualized as a diagram.
In the community that we are talking to, they have models and diagrams. The diagrams are visualizations of models. If you're now using basically the word diagram to talk about a certain kind of model, by which I mean, you know, the entities that you have are theories, and then relations between them, then you're going to confuse them.
You could call it like a theory network or some other, you know, term that makes it, that devisualizes it. And then if you wanted to, you could actually propose a standard for visualizations if you wanted to.
Yeah, well, you call it graph. It's also fine. Mathematical sense, but but not diagram. Diagram is really, I think, the community we are talking to is going to think of pictures.
Yeah. What about graph? I like graph. Yeah. And then we can have a note that in category theory, this would be called a diagram, but in UML, diagram already has a different meaning.
Or it's in the OMG community as a whole. They use it for non-UML standards, lot diagram as a visualization of the abstract syntax.
If you would want to be UML-ish or OMG-ish, we probably would call it a meta model. Of course, they love their metas.
Yeah, it's a meta.
It sounds like he has a specific kind of. I mean, this isn't. It sounds like an abstract syntax, but a specific kind for this.
No, well, you have a language. I mean, what you have here, DOL is a meta language, right? You use it, the specification that we're doing here. So each DOL text is a specification of about the relationship between models, which are written in either Common Logic or UML or whatnot. So, that's why, what is called here a diagram would be a meta model.
Yeah, but not really, because meta models in the UML sense are basically specifications of the abstract syntax of UML.
Or any
language. Yes, that's true, but I mean, we would definitely be on that level, right? So DOL is a thing which is also about the, it's not in the, in the specific, each model that is, each DOL model would involve, could talk about models of other kinds, or would involve models of other kinds. So maybe you can call this a heterogeneous model. That's what it, maybe that's, if you want to avoid the word meta, but, in UML land, what DOL is a modeling language.
Well, there's the characterization in terms of the levels, which is good to straighten out when you present to OMG. But then, you know, for example, it's not enough to say UML. If you say something's a meta model, you said something about it, but it just sounded like Till was saying something more specific that, it may be a meta model, but it's specifically the kind that is for showing the relationships between theories.
It's a modeling language which allows you to specify the relationships between models. I think that's the way, that's the way I try to explain it to OMG folks.
Yeah, but this does not mean that it's a meta modeling language. It's not at the meta level. It's at the level M1 in OMG speak. It's the same level as UML.
Well, we could argue about it. But in,
you probably want to have a discussion where you figure out which levels they're at, because that does help a little. UML as a language is a defined at M2, the meta modeling level. And then when users actually draw out diagrams, they are making models at M1, something called the user model level.
Right. But the, I mean, the, I completely understand where you could say the analogy at all, the specification is M2, and then a DOL model would be M1. But since DOL is in the same time talking about other models, UML models, for example, it would be very natural to say it's actually on a one level higher. But that's I think there's no content disagreement. It's just unclear in the how you would count the M's in the case of the OMG framework. I think you could argue either way. But the important point is that so if you want to avoid the meta, then it's still the what we should talk about if we here is not a diagram, but rather you probably should use the word model somehow. Heterogeneous model, if you want to avoid or model specification of models or something like that. The specification of what is called an Ohm's diagram here is a specification of the relationships between Ohm's models or Ohm's theories.
Okay, so I would prefer to have graph instead of diagram.
You don't want to use the word model.
Model?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't use model because we have ontology model specification. We could use Ohms. We could say it's an Ohms graph, but I'm not sure. Yeah, we can also say Ohms graph.
Okay.
I prefer this. So do you think it's better, Ohms graph, than just graph?
Graph pretty general. Yes. You probably want to have an adjective of some sort.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Ohm's graph.
What was it called before?
Diagram.
Oh. that was too general even in your community, it seemed like.
Yeah, in some community it's exactly that, but you're right.
Because there are no other things called diagrams.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. So anything else concerning this three notions here? Diagram, no, Ohm's graph, combination, and sharing?
What determined the ordering of the sections? Because, it seems to me that if you want to read it, the first question is, if I write DOL, what do I get? And it seems to me what you get is an Ohm's graph, right?
No.
Well, if you write an Ohm's specification, you write...
Yeah, implicitly you get an Ohm's graph, that's true, yeah. If you collect all the Ohm's of... You have a DOL file, then you can offer, of course, collect all the Ohm's and the Ohm's mappings in it, and then you get an Ohm's graph out of that. That's true.
Yeah. So... And then, so it seems to be rather critical, and it's now coming behind semantic battle, right? So maybe we need to rearrange that a little bit, because it's now in the subsection mapping between norms, and I think it's not. Of course, I'm aware that you could just have. A single OWL ontology and call it your DOL file. But that's not very interesting. I mean, normally a DOL file will contain something more than just one single ontology and one ontology language. Otherwise, you don't need DOL. So it will usually contain at least two ontologies or comps and a relationship between them, right?
Yeah, but still, I don't see why this implies that we need Ohm's graph and combination at the very beginning. And
not the combination we don't need, but the Ohm's graph. Don't you think that's the first thing you want to know?
No, I don't think so. And an OMS graph normally only occurs as a named entity when you just say graph G equals something. And the OMS graph that you can form out of a document is rather implicit and will typically not be of any interest. So here these OMS graphs are formed in order to later combine them. And so that you have an aggregation of all the things in the OMS graph, and you rather not combine all the things that happen to live in one DOL file.
Okay, what do we call the thing that you're getting in a normal DOL file if it's not the graph? Because
it's a distributed OMS, and this distributed OMS can even contain some OMS graphs, even several OMS graphs.
What's the difference between the OMS graph and the OMS? No, I'm confused. Isn't the OMS graph just the same thing? I mean, except for you haven't explicitly named it?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I mean, an anonymous OMS graph is the same thing as an OMS, distributed OMS. In my head, I didn't make a distinction between them, and you're now saying there's a distinction, so that's why I'm puzzled.
Yeah, but now distributed OMS can also contain several OMS graphs.
Okay, but that still doesn't make a difference to me.
Yes, the distributed OMS is basically everything that could be in the DOL file.
Right.
It could be OMS, that could be their links, so by OMS mappings, and it could also be OMS graphs and combinations of these graphs. And therefore, and you can name the graphs. In a distributed OMS, you can have several named graphs. And therefore, I would not call the whole thing consisting of several named OMS and named graphs and named mappings a graph. It's also more like the graph, because in a graph, everything could be unnamed. You could also have a completely anonymous graph. So you name, maybe you just name the graph, but you don't name any OMS in the graph. It's also possible. Whereas a distributed OMS is a collection of named OMS, linked by name OMS mappings, and plus some named OMS graphs. So maybe we should add this. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess the fact that I'm confused indicates that having something in the beginning which tells us what, in the beginning of this section, this more says what an OMS is, and it says what an OMS language is, but there doesn't include directly what a DOL file contains. And if it's not a graph, then maybe it should introduce it somehow.
Yeah, but that's on page 21 in 410. There you see what the DOL file contains. It's a distributed OMS.
Okay, it seems. So the distinction, you have to give me that the distinction between this definition and an OMS and the diagram, or now an OMS graph, is very subtle.
Yeah, true. Yeah, we could also try to merge them, but and say that these OMS graphs are nothing else but distributed OMS. So syntactically in DOL they are different things. I'm not sure whether we could massage the syntax in a way that they become also syntactically equal. Conceptually, they are very close to each other. I agree with you. But syntactically, they are not. So maybe we should have an offline discussion about this.
Okay.
Whether we can find some way of making also them syntactically equivalent. Because only then we could actually say that they are the same thing.
Yeah. By the way, just a very stupid suggestion. Just move 410 to the beginning.
Yeah, it depends. So I think here the idea is somehow that first the concepts are defined and then used. If you start with 410, then and distributed OMS is a collection of OMS. What is an OMS? You don't know. Possibly written in different OMS languages. You don't know what an OMS language is. Linked by OMS mappings. What is an OMS mapping?
Nobody is going to read through all these definitions. I mean, this is a reference document. Nobody is going to read from the definitions from the beginning to the end. I mean, well, very few people. So I think it's absolutely fine to use the definition and use these terms.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, and as long as they are defined, which they are, and actually this would be very short, and the next section is actually involved in saying what an OMS language is and what an OMS is and all of that. So I think that's fine. It should be prominently at the beginning what the subject of the document is about.
Yeah, of course, DOL is there, yeah. Okay, yeah, why not move it? So you mean to move it just to...
make this 4.1 and then everything 4.1. else.
Okay. Yeah, anything else?
Well, while we have Conrad on the line, Conrad, do you know whether we are supposed to write English or American English?
You mean British English or American English?
British English.
I'm not sure, but I think one way to tell is to look at the way the OMG spells the word modeling. Is it one or two L's? And I don't know which language is which. Like if you use Microsoft Word, it'll tell you should have two L's.
We already have looked at BPMN. And there, for example, center is spelled in the American way. So probably we should use American English.
Yeah, I suspect. They can't afford international meetings as much anymore. It is an international standard, but yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've never seen center spelled R-E. And I've never seen, there's other words that Andrew Watson will spell differently, but from the specs.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's called Unified Modeling Language with 1L.
Is what?
It's called Unified Modeling Language with 1L.
Yeah, and which is that? Is that American or not? Microsoft Word keeps trying to turn it to 2Ls. So I started to think, well, maybe it's not American. But I don't know. Maybe my word is set in a funny way. But yeah, you're right. I've never seen, you know, center with an R-E or anything like that. Oh, and behavior with a U. I've never seen that.
Okay, so double L spelling of modeling is more common in UK. Single L spelling is more common in the United States. That's what the internet tells me.
Okay.
And yeah. We all know that the internet is always right.
Even if it's contradictory. Yeah.
Well, with the example of center and behavior, and I know there's one more. I think you're right. It's OMG tends to use American English.
Okay, good. Makes life easier.
Okay.
You want to capture that onto the chat?
Yeah.
This consensus or decision.
So next time, Tara has asked whether we could discuss about query languages, and currently they don't play any role in DOL, and the question is whether and how we could have them in. So then I would say we devote the next meeting to this topic.
Sounds good.
Okay, so then the next meeting will be in 2 weeks, same place. And yeah, let me thank Peter for hosting these meetings and accompanying us over such a long time and giving very valuable comments and inputs. So yeah, many thanks. And Peter is retiring now and trying to reorganize everything that other people can jump in and. Yeah, so many thanks to Peter.
Oh, it has been an honor to work with all of you. And maybe, so you might probably want to coordinate with maybe Michael, Oliver, myself offline about the voice conferencing support. I'm trying to convince IAOA to pick up the subscription on the voice bridge, but they will have to meet to decide. So we don't have an answer quite yet.
Okay.
All right, and also on the agenda for next week, if you capture that onto the chat, that would be great. Too.
Yeah. So the conference bridge that you maintain won't be available in 2 weeks any longer, so we have to do something new, yeah?
I don't know, because I put in my recommendation to IAOA, they have to, their executive council will have to meet.
Yeah.
Before we decide, and we don't have a cut-off time yet. So in 2 weeks, maybe it's still available, maybe not. But but if anybody, Oliver would know, and he's close enough to you.
Okay.
So are they going to discuss this tomorrow? No, I won't be able.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, we have this problem that. Some of us can't attend the Thursday's meeting, some of us can't attend the Monday's meeting, so they're alternating. So unfortunately I won't be able to be there tomorrow.
I think it's sort of high impact and relatively low cost for IAOA to sort of provide that service, but I'll let you guys decide. Okay, I will continue to try to get today's proceedings out, but probably this will be the last one I'll be making. And I have a few other things today. If I can make it, I'll get it out today. If not, it might be later. So, but it will come today's proceedings. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Oh, bye bye.
Bye bye.